they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this out for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. Word they be. Hello and welcome to another episode of Amon Sheeran's Pirate Radio Podcast. On today's episode, we have stand-up comic, host of the WW Bro Podcast, Anthony DiDomenico. Anthony, thank you very much for coming on.
How you doing?
Good, good. So I'll get started. I had your friend Jordan Lauterbach on, and one of the questions I asked him was, what made you go to that first open mic?
I always wanted to do stand-up from the time I was a kid. You know, as far back as I can remember, like 7 years old, and just I was always scared to actually try it. And then I was around 30, and it was kind of like a bucket list type of thing. I just called Governors, and they had no, I didn't know how it worked. I called, they had an open mic. They told me I had to bring six people, and that was it. I was hooked from the second I grabbed the microphone, and I've been doing it ever since.
Cool. Yeah, I had a similar experience with open mics, but what was it like? Kind of honing your craft and being able to get that first laugh and realize you have a future in stand-up comedy?
Well, I don't think I have a future in it.
Yeah.
But no. Well, it was the first time I was on stage, I got, you know, got a laugh, got a couple of laughs, then I got heckled like right away. Mm-hmm. And I just turned and went after the guy, and then I was like, okay, I could do this. And it was great. I mean, especially those first few years, like when you're hitting open mics like crazy and writing and hanging out with the other comics at the diner afterwards, that was the best time. That was the most fun. And I definitely took that for granted, like, you know, now down the road. And then that's the part I miss about stand-up is the most, like, especially now during the pandemic when right. I'm doing it is the hang afterwards and during in the green room.
Yeah, that's always the best part, just hanging with the boys, chopping it up. So in terms of the pandemic now, have you done any of like the Zoom shows? I know everyone's been trying to do outdoor shows and all this stuff. It's been kind of crazy. So
no, I haven't done any Zoom shows. I've been on stage like once this whole time. I got up in July. I don't want to do like Zoom show. I'd rather be in front of a real crowd at a comedy club, performing in front of people. The Zoom thing is kind of for me like a disconnect.
Yeah, it's so hard to replicate that feeling of like a low ceiling, tight packed room, and you really can't do it over Zoom or even outdoors,
yeah,
really.
Exactly.
So obviously you host a huge podcast, the WW Bro Podcast. I was just listening to one of the episodes and you said you were between a wrestling podcast and the WW Bro Podcast. What made you decide to go with the WW?
It was really everybody telling me to do this. Like, you know, I wanted to do a wrestling one because I'm a big wrestling fan. And it's actually one of the bartenders, this guy Anthony at Brokerage. And he was like, no, you're crazy. You have to do this. You have to. Because people get invested in my weight loss journey just through Instagram and the posts I was doing. And, you know, just talking honestly through that. And here was another vehicle where I could get on here and be honest about everything I'm going through and the struggles. And people just seem to gravitate towards it. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, you know, because you're saying things that you don't want to, you know, tell people normally. But it's been a blast. I've had fun with it. And I'll keep doing it as long as people keep wanting to listen to it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So obviously it's a long weight loss journey for you. When you're at your, when you're at your heaviest, what made you want to like kind of turn things around and get
just, I couldn't do anything. I was almost immobile. You know, walking around was hard. I couldn't really stand on stage. If I sit on stage for more than 10 minutes, my back and knees were on fire. I'd most likely have to sit on the stool. You know, my quality of life was minimal. And I was just tired of it, and I had to make a change. It was either getting the weight loss surgery, which I didn't want to do, or I said, let me give this one last chance to do it my way, and hopefully it works. And, you know, knock on wood, it's going to be 4 years in May, and I'm keeping off 205 pounds.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's obviously a huge number. For people who are where you were, how do you recommend they start when the goal seems so insurmountable?
You take it, I know it's cliche, it's literally one day at a time. Mm-hmm. If you think about like where you have to start, I'm still a long way from where I want to be, but if you look at it like from point A to point B, and that's all it is, you're going to get yourself frustrated. My dad always told me, like, you can't look at it that way. He goes, just look at it like the time's going to go by anyway. Now, what are you going to do with that time in between? I always remember that. I always think about that, especially when, you know, I get frustrated and I don't want to keep doing this. I'm like, well, it's true. I mean, year is going to go by anyway. And if I could either be healthier and that much closer to my goal, or it could be that much further away. So I choose to be that much closer to it.
Definitely. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. How has the podcast helped you on your journey?
It keeps me way accountable. Like, okay. I got to come on here each week, and I don't have to, but I do it. And I talk about my struggles or my successes, and I feel like I'm checking in with people. You know, it's another avenue for me to hold myself accountable by putting it all out there. So for me, that's what keeps me going also, is that I know that I'm going to log in on Monday nights and I'm going to talk about my week, good or bad. And that just helps me keep on the straight path.
So you just hit over 150 episodes. I was listening. You said you had the opportunity to have like people from all different walks of life, different guests. Who were some of the guests that stood out to you? They were really cool to have on.
My sister-in-law actually was one of my favorite guests that I had on, because she was really instrumental in me actually starting my weight loss journey. You know, about a month before I started, she had a coming to Jesus talk with me, so to speak, about like, you know, what I had to do for my health. And she's a healthcare professional. She's a nurse.
Right.
So she wasn't really talking to my sister-in-law. She was talking to me as a nurse, and things she was telling me was not comfortable for me. She said, if I was a smoker, I'd probably be dead at this point, which that kind of rang in my head. Just saying the things that are going to happen to me down the road. She goes, you might be okay now, but this is going to happen to your heart. This is going to happen in your blood. This is going to, you know, and that kind of stuff. It was awesome to have her on. Just even my comedy buddies, you know, bringing them into a different world, you know, because the people in the weight loss community know me one way and a lot of my comedy buddies know me another way. It was kind of, I like when I can bring those two together and kind of, you know, just shorten that gap a little bit.
Yeah, I can definitely see that helping people, having different people on. How do you set goals for yourself? Obviously, you said you were still on your journey. So how do you set that next goal?
I set small goals. Very small, very, you know, attainable, that, you know, that is not so out of reach. I do like 25-pound increments. So my next goal is 225 down. And that's really, I'm just going to try to get to that. And, you know, however long it takes. You know, the weight loss slows down the longer you're going with it, because your body gets more used to eating healthy and the exercise and everything. And so I just give those short little goals, or even not even weight goals. Like, I'm going to go to the gym four times this week instead of three, then five, that kind of stuff. That's just very easy to attain, because once you keep, you know, you get that habit of, you know, achieving your goals, you can't wait to set the next one and work harder for it.
Yeah, definitely. It's just like that, the next step to keep pushing. Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into weight loss. Kind of a tough question, but what do you think has more an impact for you, diet or exercise, or is it like a little bit of both?
It's diet. It's weight loss is 75, maybe even more, 70-80% diet.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can't exercise bad eating habits away.
Right.
It's you know, exercise, you know, and contributes to it and could get it better for your mind, but weight loss is very simple. It's a simple science: calories in, calories out. So if you're not watching what you're eating and putting the right stuff in your body, weight loss is going to be out of control. People work out to maintain,
right?
Like, you know, so they can go out and they can eat what they want and they can drink what they want and that kind of thing. But you have to get. I guess what I had to do first was get the eating down before I even thought about getting back in the gym and working out.
Mm-hmm. What was your biggest advice with eating? I know I like. Just to pick out on like Oreos and stuff like that, and pizza and bad stuff. But what was it for you?
It was really just about anything.
Yeah.
Chocolate, peanut, anything with chocolate and peanut butter was a bad thing. I like sandwiches. I like real food too, like, you know, like Italian food, like macaroni, chicken parm, that kind of
all
stuff.
That stuff.
It
yeah.
was, I never really had a go to. Like, it was like, okay, this is what it was, almost like a phase of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it'd be fast food. Like every day I'd have to have fast food or something like that. And I never had that really go to, which what triggered it really was just, you know, I'm an emotional eater. I'm a food addict, and any emotion would trigger me to want to eat, whether it be happy, sad, miserable, depressed, you know, so I would want to fill that void or celebrate it with food.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. I'll definitely keep tuning into your podcast. It sounds really interesting. Since I stopped competing in college, I put on a lot of weight. So I definitely want to take that first step to getting back down. So I appreciate you having that resource out there for people who might want to, you know, start losing weight. I think that's really important for people to see someone who's done it already and documented it.
I get people like writing me from all over the country, sometimes even different countries in the world, saying that they don't have like a workshop near them.
Right.
And that's like their workshop. That's their meeting. That's their, they tune in every Monday. And it's like, it's kind of humbling, and I'm flattered that's what it's become for them. But it is, it's a safe space. You know, it's almost like, you know, you don't have to talk. What's good about a podcast like that is you don't have to talk. You don't have to say what you're feeling, but you can relate to everything I'm going through, and I'll get it out there. And that's the kind of responses I've gotten from people, like, oh my God, like your voice, it was like exactly what's going on in my head.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's obviously not the only thing, but it's someone who's documented like every step of the way, I think is really cool to see. So we'll get into some fun stuff before you go, but you're a big wrestling fan. I didn't know that. So who's your Mount Rushmore of favorite wrestlers?
My Mount Rushmore, this is hard for me because it's hard to pick, you know, only a few, but like, well, growing up it was Hulk Hogan.
Right.
I was a kid. I grew up right in prime Hulkamania years. Like when he won the title, I was 5 years old. So that's when I started watching. It was like, okay, this was a guy who was bigger than life. And then as I kind of got older, I started to appreciate Ric Flair more. Like, I didn't really know Flair when I was younger, but Flair is definitely, like, you know, I think he's one of the greatest of all time. That's a hard one. I'll give Bret Hart,
Hitman,
and Shawn Michaels. Like, I think they were great in the 90s. They kind of, you know, went away from that big guy era. I'm a big CM Punk fan. And I think Chris Jericho arguably is the greatest of all time.
Yeah, because longevity,
and he's resurrected his career so many times and reinvented himself so many times. And I think now at 50 years old, he's still competing at a high level. So those are probably if I had to shorten it.
Right.
Those guys. Of course, I'm leaving out like Undertaker and Triple H and guys like that. I can go on forever and explain why, like, you know, certain guys is great for that time. But those are probably my favorites to watch. Like CM Punk, I feel cheated that I discovered him so late. Like I didn't really know him in ROH, and I went back and I watched those matches, and they're amazing. Like him and Samoa Joe had a great series of matches, and I kind of got cheated with that down the road with that. So I wish more he was around. Like, you know, would have stuck around a little more for that stuff.
Yeah, if you could fantasy book a dream match for CM Punk, I have one in mind, but with a wrestler today, who would it be and why?
CM Punk and AJ Styles.
Okay.
That would have been if I'm people who are wrestling now, but of course, like, you know, the dream is him versus Stone Cold. That's the dream. But if I had to, like, if there was a match now, I'd love to see that match with him and AJ Styles. I think they put on a phenomenal match.
I think that would be a barn burner. For me, it's Kenny Omega, like the best in the world versus the best in the world. I think that'd be really cool in AEW. So we'll see. Hopefully he has that one more match or just is involved in wrestling in one way or the other.
He said it's got to be a ton of money. A ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
And Tony Khan's got it. I mean,
yeah.
If one guy's got the money, it's him to lay it out there. And I pray that he does.
Certainly, yeah. What do you think of the current state of wrestling? Obviously, two big brands, AEW and WWE. I think it's a great time for wrestling with the competition. What do you think about the current state?
I think it's a great time, and it's always been this competition. I just don't like what either brand's really doing. I can't, and you know what, too? It's hard for me to watch without the people in the crowd.
I think it's very tough.
I think it's like comedy. To me, it's especially even watching, you feed off that crowd, and I get into it. You know, I feel like it's the same setting every week, and I don't know. WWE's lacking a little to me lately. There's some great storylines. Like, I love what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. And, you know, I've watched The Miz anytime he's on.
Right.
And I like the Roman Reigns angle they're doing, because I wanted that years ago, him and Heyman together. And AEW, I feel like it could be so much better if they just stop, you know, giving their friends jobs. Like, let's let it develop. Let's let, you know, make something of it. But I think down the road it will be some good competition. And I think it's always good when you have two brands.
It just helps it. It's like the WCW effect.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I also saw on your Twitter that you're a big Mandalorian Star Wars fan. Spoiler alert, but what did you think of the finale?
Absolutely phenomenal. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. I popped the whole time. Like, you know, as soon as that X-Wing flew in.
Yeah.
I think I screamed like a little girl. I was like, eh! You know, I knew right away what it was. I knew who it was because they had teased kind of like they were going to do. I saw in the papers and on the internet that, like, you know, they were going to have somebody else play Luke. So I wasn't like that psyched about that. I'm like, okay, cool. They'll have, it's going to be in the storyline. But when I really, when he came in and they showed the black glove.
Yeah, you could tell.
Lightsaber, was like, and then when he took that hood off, I got choked up. I'm not going to lie. I was choked up watching because it brought me right back to when I was a kid again. So I remember that's how I was introduced to Luke Skywalker, really about the age was Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, especially Return of the Jedi. I was probably the older, you know, that's what I really remember when he walked into, you know, Jabba the Hutt's cave and he took that hood off and it was Luke. I mean, it kind of brought me back to when I was a kid again.
And then they brought it back to Jabba the Hutt with the Book of Boba Fett tease. I think that's going to be amazing.
Disney Plus is...
Yeah, they're killing
it. Take all my money. The Obi-Wan series I can't wait for, him and battling Darth Vader. That's going to be amazing.
I said, go ahead.
I'm just saying, I can't wait. They can take all my money if they want.
10 different shows. And I think for the Kenobi series with Hayden Christensen, we're going to get like prime Darth Vader. Like we got him like after the fact and kind of before, but now it's going to be like his prime villainy.
The most badass Darth Vader you've seen is in Rogue One.
Exactly. That's what
especially
I saw,
when he's walking down that hall and he's just, and they kind of mirrored that in The Mandalorian, which was awesome because it's father son. But you're kind of, that's probably the most powerful you've seen Vader at that point. But you've never seen him like, here he is in his prime. And that's what I'm excited for. And Jon Favreau's behind it. And he could.
Yeah, he can do anything.
He told me he was going to make like Little Orphan Annie. I'm like, I'm all in. I want to see it. I want to see the origin story. I want to see how she became an orphan. I'd be all in for it.
Him and Dave Filoni are an absolute dream team, and I'll trust them with my firstborn child, really. So at this point, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch. Are you a Marvel guy too?
Not so much. A DC guy.
DC,
as far
okay.
As, you know, as a kid, Batman just really like, especially if I was a kid, Batman comic books were really all I collected. And I'm a huge Batman fan. And I can't wait for the new one to come out with Robert Pattinson. It wasn't sold at first, but then I saw the trailer and I'm in.
Yeah.
He looks the part.
Yeah, I just bought my first Batman graphic novel recently, The Court of Owls, so I'm really enjoying that so far. So getting into comics a little bit, how'd you get started reading and what got you hooked on those?
Just as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, there was a comic book store in walking distance to my house. My mom would be walked here. So there was a used bookstore and they had comic books there. And then me and my brother, and my friends, we just walked there and whatever little money we had, we'd pick up some comic books that weren't expensive. And I was always drawn towards Batman. I just liked that the fact that he wasn't a superhero.
Right.
You know, Superman, it's easy to be Superman. And you have, you know, the power already. It's just, you can just do whatever you want. Batman was a guy that was, you know, regular guys just fighting crime. And I always like that whole Dark Knight thing. And then also in 89, I was 10 years old, the movie came out. So I had to have everything Batman. And that started with the comic book. So I started, you know, getting graphic novels and getting into, you know, more of that story. And just, I was a Batman guy from day one.
Yeah, awesome. Me too. Yeah, I think the Nolan movies were really good too, with Christian Bale and all that. Heath Ledger, obviously. Rest in peace. But getting back into stand-up comedy quickly, who inspires you in terms of like people out right now?
Not really stand-up set that comedy like that I look at as my idols. I mean, as far as stand-ups, I mean, guys like Bill Burr. I mean, I can watch him forever. Just guys that tell the truth. Nick DiPaolo,
Mandalorian guy too. Bill Burr.
Yeah. The Mandalorian. You know, growing up, it was Eddie Murphy. Believe that Bob Nelson. As a kid, I used to love Bob Nelson's comedy, but like really my idols was Chris Farley and Howard Stern.
Okay.
When I think about like people that made me laugh and that made me want to be entertaining, I wanted to get into radio first. And I did. I got to radio in 2005 and it was because of Howard Stern. I'm a huge Stern fan. So the comics that I got into were all the comics from the Stern show, like Jim Florentine, Don Jameson, Nick DiPaolo was on there, Jack
Hardy.
And Joker. I used to just follow them around because whoever was on the Stern show, that's who I would go listen to.
Gotcha, yeah. Was Artie Lang another one of those guys? Obviously, he was a mainstay.
Yeah, I don't think the show's been the same since he left. He, you know, and when Jackie left, I thought that, you know, the show, oh my God, it's going to go downhill. Artie was the perfect piece to that puzzle, especially going into satellite. And I still watch every day. While I'm getting ready for work, I put on an old clip on YouTube of those Stern shows from Sirius when they first got there, the Artie run.
Yeah.
I still laugh just as hard at some of the things on there that I did when I heard it live.
So for me, I always thought there was like two different types of people, like Stern fans and Opie and Anthony fans. Were you someone that hated Opie and Anthony and loved Stern? Or
at first, no, I listened to both because you could.
Right.
They were on in the afternoon on NEW, and my mom actually turned me on to Opie and Anthony.
Oh, like, wow.
Well, because my parents are Stern fans. That's how I got into Howard. Mm-hmm. I started listening to Howard at 6 because my dad would listen to him in the morning when we were getting ready for – he was getting ready for work. I'd be getting ready for school. And my – you know, when things got like a little raunchy, my mother would turn it down. My dad would come out of the bathroom. He's like, you know, Liz, come on. I'm shaving and I got the water going. I can't hear. And he would turn it back up again. So I grew up on Howard. And then my mom told me, like, when it went to NEW, she's like, if you like Howard, these guys are funny. They're just like – they kind of like him. One guy does impressions and stuff. So I started listening to them, and I always thought it was funny when they would fight back and forth. I was never like, if I like Howard, then I can't like these guys. When they made fun of Howard, I thought it was hilarious. It was actually
pretty those were some of the best. And obviously Patrice was huge on there. He was fun to watch, Norton, everybody. So thank you very much for doing this. I think you have a really inspiring podcast, so I hope you keep that up.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, two more questions before I let you go. I ask this to all my guests, and the question is, if you could have dinner with any dead celebrity or athlete, who would it be?
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
I'd love to just it's a great choice. Brain and not, you know, not even get into the slaps. I want to just know, like, you know, his story. Definitely, if I can hang out with Chris Farley for a night, that'd be a dream come true.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great choice. Like, Band Down by the River, Tommy Boy, all that. It's just so funny.
I just grew up on him. You know, at first when I saw him was in Wayne's World in 92. And that two-minute scene, I just thought, I don't know, I was just hooked. Maybe because of another big guy, you know, on TV, being funny. And then that's when I got into 90s Saturday Night Live, which I think that, you know, everybody thinks their Saturday Night Live is the best Saturday Night Live. But I really think that run with, like, him, Sandler, Spade, Schneider, Chris Rock, that to me was the best run of Saturday Night Live ever, to me, anyway.
All right, yeah, that's tough to disagree with that cast, but last question, and thank you again. What would you like your outro song to be?
My outro song? Yeah, Cult of Personality.
CM Punk. All right. Perfect. Thank you guys very much for listening.
Thank you.